You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 29th, 2022, reminding you we are also streaming live at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com in the search engine, enter one word, Larry Connors, USA, and it'll open up a platform where you'll see several previous programs that we live streamed, and then you go on down, you'll find where we are live at this very moment. Push live and bing and bang and bongo, and you're right here in the studio watching. Glad to have you. We do appreciate it. Watching live or later, listening live or listening later, the podcast. Here's one of those, I told you so. The Federal Reserve coming up with its new inflation gauge shows once again, as I told you, consumer prices are up again. 6.6% in March. And when we finish April, they're going to be up again. But at 6.6%, that's the highest inflation rate since 1982, 40 years. This month will be another record. You watch. Now, the Department of Homeland Security, of course, announced yesterday or the other day, Disinformation Governance Board. Yeah, that's going to be created to basically make sure that materials, information being put out on Facebook, Twitter, things of that nature are factual, not disinformation, misleading. It's all because Musk now owns Twitter, and a lot of Twitter folks are very upset. And in fact, to that extent, there's a report that when you look at the breakout of those and where they stand on it, some of the latest surveys show that many Twitter users decided to get off. But you know who really lost the most? Left is losing an average of 6,000 followers, and conservatives gaining 17,000. It comes around, doesn't it? But then this governance board, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki today defending that, and again yesterday, this new disinformation board saying we're going to crack down what we consider online disinformation. Well, would that include stuff from the New York Times and the Washington Post when they said the Hunter laptop was a lie, didn't exist? Would that include that? Not with this administration. You're not going to get a disinformation board. You're going to get a propaganda machine running full tilt. And in fact, Department of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas cannot even tell you what happened to the 42 illegals that we captured coming into our country. He was asked, did they get released into the country? What did you do with them? Well, I don't know. You don't know. He was also asked, have you already decided to have your agents not enforce Title 42, which was supposedly going to end May 23rd? No, I have not. Well, border agents, according to one congressman questioning him, Congressman Issa, he said they tell me they were told to go ahead and just start dropping Title 42, just clear people to come on in, get them in as soon as you can. And Mayorkas said, I don't know such a policy. That's a lie. If you don't know about it, how would you know if it's a lie? Speaking of those who sneak into the country, by one way or the other, there are those radicalized inside the country. A 26-year-old former University of Alabama student sentenced to 10 years after pleading guilty to concealing that she was involved in terrorism financing. a Chicago neighborhood group. This out of my boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago. He says the Bucktown Neighbors Association sent out a letter to that community describing an armed guard will be in the area patrolling because they don't have enough police available, and or they just don't think police will respond in time. Understandable. And since we talked about earlier about Elon Musk buying Twitter, word coming out of Texas, a Texas billionaire says, I'm going to give you 100 acres to locate Twitter from San Fran to here. Be just north of Austin. I'm thinking Musk will probably take him up on that deal.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Coming in to be close to your mind, kind of mind. So big and so strong.
Larry Connors, USA.
So today, to herald the coming of the new Soviet America, the administration announced its own Ministry of Truth. This will be called the Disinformation Governance Board. Laugh if you want, but just to show you they're not kidding around here, this board is not part of the State Department or any other agency focused on foreign threats from abroad. No. The Disinformation Governance Board is part of the Department of Homeland Security. DHS is a law enforcement agency designed to police the United States, and that, by the way, has a famously large stockpile of ammunition. So it's not a joke at all. Here's DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
We have just established a Mis- and Disinformation Governance Board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security.
Of course, that was a clip from Tucker Carlson announcing the government deciding it was going to tell you what is fact and what's fiction. You can trust us. You can rely on us. The same thing they're hearing in China from their communist leader and in North Korea. And don't dispute what we tell you is fact and what's fiction, because we know. Now, that point, I would probably agree with them. They know the difference between fact and fiction. But what they peddle to you as fact is often fiction. Senator Josh Hawley had mentioned this the other day, Republican of Missouri. He said, when I first saw this, he issued a letter immediately condemning the Disinformation Governance Board. He said, at first I thought the announcement was satire. Surely no American administration would ever use the power of the government to sit in judgment on the First Amendment speech of its own citizens. Sadly, I was mistaken. Well, Jen Psaki of the White House spokeswoman, of course, was quick to defend and say, who could be against freedom of expression and democracy? Listen, you're going to hear her repeat it three different times because I want to drive the point home.
It sounds like the objective of the board is to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities. I'm not sure who opposes that effort. It sounds like the objective of the board is to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities. I'm not sure who opposes that effort. It sounds like the objective of the board is to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities.
I'm not opposed to disinformation, you controlling, quote, disinformation going around the public, around the nation, but that's a lie in itself. I'm giving her some credit of being, trying to be responsible. We're going to come back to her later, as she actually got questioned by reporters that. But before we do that, there was a piece that appeared in Politico today that I'd referred to in the last hour, and it had a quote on how boring the Biden White House has been for reporters, and journalists fear that they would feel like an a-hole if they questioned White House Secretary Psaki too aggressively. They didn't have any trouble at all doing that with Sarah Huckabee, did they? Or any other Trump White House spokesman. But the Politico White House correspondent, quoting an anonymous reporter, said she's very good at her job, which is unfortunate. And just saying that the dulling down of the White House beat, and it's just, we just don't want to act mean to her. D.C. Examiner reporter shared some screenshots of that sympathetic quotes and said, "This is the most pathetic thing I've ever read." And I would agree. Your job as a White House correspondent, your J-O-B is question and question hard and do not accept anything at face value. But, of course, no one wants to be an a-hole. But did anyone ever raise that with Jim Acosta? As he would go after not only Trump, but his White House spokespeople. There was a perfect, you know. But again, this concern about we want only the facts to get out to the public. We don't want a lot of disinformation. Like during COVID, if you put that ivermectin was successful and helpful for you, you could be banned from Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, all of them. If you even quoted someone as saying that, you could be banned by each and every one of them. And every time I would put anything up reference on COVID, there would be a notation for real information about COVID. Go to this source, which was the CDC or the National Institutes of Health or maybe Dr. Fake himself. So here comes Senator Elizabeth Warren appearing on MSNBC. And I mentioned this yesterday, but I want you to hear the words directly from her.
Who's going to have the power in our country? Are we going to make these decisions as a democracy, or is this going to be Elon Musk all by himself, off in a room, a bazillionaire who just plays by his own set of rules? That's really what's at stake here. We need rules of the road. And look, there are going to be rules. Like I said, the only question is, will Elon Musk decide all the rules by himself in a dark room? Or is it going to be the case that we're going to decide this as a country? We're going to make rules in a democracy.
Yeah. Now suddenly she wants to have rules imposed on big tech. As long as it was controlled by the left, it's all good. Now this should concern Facebook and YouTube, because while her target will be Musk and Twitter, they're also going to be in the sights. But that's the whole thing here. Everything's built around the fact that Musk will own Twitter, and he said, I want it to be a full and free forum, as it was originally intended. Unless you're basically inciting a riot, or you are putting up dangerous, threatening language, things of that nature, then you'd probably be allowed to put it up. It's almost back to the you can't yell fire in a crowded theater just to watch everybody run and frighten them. And yet Twitter previously was allowing the Ayatollah Khomeini, where they shout daily, death to America, to have his own Twitter account, and took Trump off Twitter and Facebook and YouTube because they blamed him for the January 6th insurrection. And they're still, of course, hashing that out. And they're going to bring it up over and over again. Now, I'm not going to defend what took place January 6th, but I'm going to continue to condemn those who make it the pivotal point of democracy. It was not then, it's not now. This could be this disinformation board. And the Democrats will be responsible for it. They can wash their hands of a lot of things, but if you create this thing and you put it in place and you're going to be controlling free speech, basically, that's on you. And the person that they picked, she had already made it clear that she is worried about Musk or anyone who has control of a particular platform. Listen to this.
I shudder to think about if free speech absolutists were taking over more platforms, what that would look like for the marginalized communities all around the world, which are already shouldering so much of this abuse.
That is Nina Jankowicz. She is already on record. And, of course, when she said taking over any platform, by that I would assume also radio, TV, newspaper, if you don't, that's a platform for information. She doesn't have any problems with those who run the Washington Post, owned by Jeff Bezos. She doesn't have any problem with those who run the New York Times. She doesn't have any problem with leftist organizations that have control of various networks and didn't even bother reporting on some of this stuff the other day. The major networks just kind of glossed over it, much less cable outlets. She doesn't. Her concern is only you online with Twitter or something like that. And yet this is the same woman who's going to tell you what is fact and what's fiction, the same woman who has a past she has yet to retract. Listen to Joe Concha, Fox News contributor.
Nina Jankowicz, not just what she said about Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation, and she's never apologized for it, but she's also praised Christopher Steele, he of the discredited and laughable Steele dossier, which was complete and total disinformation that tried to impact a presidential election. I mean, you could go on and on with the person that's in charge of this. And now she also thinks that Elon, and it's not Elon Musk, it's only one word, remember, one person, Elon now owns Twitter. She says that's scary. But you get my point. Mayorkas and Jankowicz are the two of the last people who should be leading up any Ministry of Truth. And the U.S. government shouldn't even be considering creating something like this, run by partisans with political agendas in the first place.
No, they shouldn't. That's Joe Concha again, contributor to The Hill and also Fox News contributor. This whole Biden Ministry of Truth that they want to create, that's what it really comes down to. Breitbart has a great piece on it saying that's Nina Nuts. Nina Jankowicz said, gender misinfo would equal threat to democracy. That's right. If you don't want to call someone who says, I want to be called a she instead of a he, then you are a threat to democracy. And if you mock Kamala, whatever, that's a threat to national security. Well, I just did that, didn't I? Oh, my God. Oh, I got Mike in there saying, shaking his finger at me. Larry, you went too far that time. Well, I better take a moment and give myself my coloring book and my crayons and sit here in a safe space for a while and recollect my thoughts because I misstated something like that. So let's let you hear the Q&A that took place with Saski about this misinformation board and how gentle it's asked and how she's allowed to just wash right over it.
She had previously called the Hunter Biden laptop a Trump campaign product, seeming to discredit its validity or validity of reporting surrounding that. How can you assuage concerns of people who are looking at this person who's been appointed to this position and wondering if she's going to be able to accurately judge misinformation now that a lot of that reporting has been proven to be
factual in some ways.
Well, I don't have any comments on the laptop, but what I can tell you is that it sounds like the objective of the board is to prevent disinformation and misinformation from traveling around the country in a range of communities. I'm not sure who opposes that effort, and I don't know who this individual is, so I have no comment on it specifically.
Well, there you have Jen Psaki getting a question. And she, the question was directed about the woman that's been appointed head of the board, not the laptop. Just the fact that she had denied the laptop was real. Now everybody admits it is real. But still, the White House won't comment on the laptop, the Hunter Biden laptop. And she was also asking about this disinformation board in general. And Psaki's attitude is, who could be against getting factual information? Well, I'm not against getting factual information, but I've held the lead from you. We'll be taking a break, and when we come back, I've already told you that Mayorkas has come up with this idea. It, not just him, but others. The whole Biden administration, this Ministry of Truth, or what they want to call the Disinformation Governance Board, headed up by a woman who has yet to admit, yeah, the Hunter laptop is real, and yes, there was no Russian collusion. She's still going to be the one to make the decision going forward. But it's not just that. When we come back, I did hide the lead from you because I want you to hear Mayorkas in his own words tell you how they're going to go about enforcing, and they are prepared to come after you if you dare step across that line. Stand by, please.
Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We have just established a mis- and disinformation governance board in the Department of Homeland Security to more effectively combat this threat, not only to election security, but to our homeland security. We have so many different efforts underway to equip local communities to identify individuals who very well could be descending into violence by reason of ideologies of hate, false narratives, or other disinformation and misinformation propagated on social media and other platforms.
Did you just hear what the Director of Homeland Security Secretary stated? We have several operatives in various communities who are on the watch for this stuff to catch these folks that might be involved in things that might lead to hatred, mismessaging, false information, and maybe violence. Would that be like BLM, lighting and torching buildings, assaulting police? Would that be similar to that, or is that group not going to be included? Or were you talking about parents who show up at school board meetings wanting their voices to be heard about they don't want CRT in their schools and they don't want their children exposed to gender transition stories and gender identity instead of teaching education, subjecting them to indoctrination? He is going to put the weight of the Department of Homeland Security through its various operatives in the field, basically spying on Americans for things that they say could lead to hate and or disinformation. Really? Well, now, would that call out also the New York Times? That's right, the New York Times. As I've told many of you before, I get a slap in the face every morning from the New York Times. I ask for it. I subscribe for it. Here was my slap in the face today, and it actually, well, that didn't hurt so much. It raised a big question. David Linhart, who writes it, he said, quote, "The federal government is telling us two different stories about COVID vaccines for young children." How dare the New York Times make that statement? Not only did he make that statement, he started saying, why hasn't the FDA approved a COVID-19 vaccine for children under 5? Government officials giving two conflicting answers in recent days. Well, that also seems to be misleading or disinformation. Is Mayorkas and DHS going to go after the New York Times and Linhart for writing that? But he goes on to say it's the latest instance is what's been a recurring problem during the pandemic. Public health officials have sent confusing messages. No kidding. And he adds, sometimes the confusion has been intentional. Officials have not trusted Americans with the truth. There you have it. They don't trust you with the truth. We will tell you what we want to, and you will just believe it. Moderna yesterday applied for emergency authorization for a vaccine to be used in children 6 months to under 2 years and 2 years to under 6 years. But it wasn't approved right away because Dr. Fake, said we're not going to approve a Moderna vaccine until we can also approve one for Pfizer. Approving two vaccines at a different time could confuse people. Well, what the hell? Are you worried about protecting people or confusing? Or does that have anything to do other than the fact that you want to control things? Mayorkas, I think there's another guy you need to look into right there. You need to look into Dr. Fake. Then you've got a doctor specializing in pediatric infectious disease at NYU saying the FDA has been speaking in bureaucratic jargon, and the messaging has been so poor. And, of course, the fact remains that COVID is still a small risk to young children anyway. But the New York Times, is it now guilty of disinformation, saying the government's been telling you two stories, contradicting stories at the same time? Going to get into that and also the latest on COVID and a new concern about COVID and a bird flu case in the USA. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine, will be joining me when we continue. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Non-Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Baby, I got your number. Oh, and I know that you got mine. You know that I called you. I called too many times.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Always glad to have back on as a guest, and I got a lot of questions to go through with him at a rapid pace today, and he can handle it. Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Also, to be fully transparent, my surgeon for two rotator cuff surgeries, and I highly recommend. But Dr. Lehman, Rick, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Larry. How are you?
I'm great, sir. And here we go. Lock and load, because here come the questions. Let's begin with the fact that Moderna has applied for an emergency authorization for a COVID vaccine for kids 2 to 6 and even 6 months to 2 years. Your response on that?
Well, you know, I'm not a big fan of vaccinating these really, really young kids, and I understand the concern, but I think the vaccine is, or the virus is waning. And, you know, now we're going to vaccinate a whole group of young kids, and we don't really know what the issues are going to be. Now, the one big problem has been Moderna, as you sent to me, has not sent in their full application. So the FDA is not going to approve it until that happens. But again, as a physician, a boots on the ground guy, I think you run some risk in a cohort that's not really at risk.
Well, here's the other thing. Dr. Fauci, my slip of the tongue again, said that the government's not going to approve Moderna until they can also approve one for Pfizer, because approving them at different times would be too confusing for the public. So first of all, if they're going to have them, if Moderna is going to be valid and acceptable, they're going to wait until Pfizer catches up, and how many kids would be at risk if that's the real concern?
You know, that doesn't make any sense at all, because we've had a rush to get the vaccine approved. We've done a good job. Vaccines normally take many years, and all of a sudden we're going to wait for the competitor so that people are not confused. People aren't going to be confused. They're going to use the vaccine that's available.
To that extent, the New York Times was reading some sections from it today from their morning report I get every day. I call it my slap in the face for the New York Times. And it's talking about that how the government is telling, and this is in the New York Times, the government is telling us two different stories about COVID vaccines for young children. Sometimes the confusion has been intentional. They have not trusted Americans with the truth.
Well, I think they have been anything but transparent. I think Fauci's or Dr. Fake has been anything but consistent. You know, his mask mandate changes daily, and their information has not been transparent, and I agree with that. And if you're a doctor and you're following the science, you recognize that. The second big issue is what's the goal here? You know, like they said, the goalposts are moving. Well, what is the goal? Well, the goal is to decrease the incidence of COVID in kids 5 years and under. Well, that's not a big issue.
Well, what they try to do is pin on there and say, well, but they may have parents or grandparents who are compromised at home.
And that's understandable. 50%, there was an article yesterday, 50% of Americans had COVID. Probably the other 50% has at least been somewhat vaccinated. And so at this point, and the variants are waning. Now, the B.2.4 variant and B.2.6 variants are coming, but they're going to be watered down, and they're not going to be any worse than probably allergies. Now, based on that, you know, I just have a tough time going ahead and vaccinating all these kids, not knowing. I mean, if 10 kids die of heart disease from COVID vaccine, that's 10 more that were going to die if they got COVID. So you have to think of it that way.
So the other thing is changing the definition of vaccine. This is not really a vaccine, is it, when you get down to it?
Not a vaccine, that's correct. And you know...
And what's the difference, very quickly, what's the difference between vaccine and just a therapeutic to treat something?
Well, you know, one thing you're treating is you're treating the disease. You're stopping the disease. And we have pills for that, et cetera. And the vaccine is a one and done, right? You take it, and, you know, maybe it lasts a year, maybe it lasts 6 months. Now, that's the other issue. Some of these COVID vaccines are only lasting 6 to 8 weeks, and then we're seeing the antibodies wane. So, again, this we're looking at treatments versus vaccines, one. And then the other thing we're looking at, like I said, is who stands to do well with this? Well, Moderna and Pfizer, they made trillions. Of course, now, they want to vaccinate kids 0 to 5.
Sure, and boosters and boosters and boosters. Now, there's another thing that those who have COVID have suffered. They call it the COVID brain fog. I know you probably have heard something along that line. What exactly does that amount to, and is it linked to vaccine or the COVID or both?
Well, both. So 30% of people.
I'm sorry, you broke up briefly. Try that one more time. The answer.
Both.
Okay.
30% of people that have COVID are going to have, you know, long hauler syndrome or brain fog. And brain fog is going to be, you know, just that, you know, trouble remembering, a little confusion. You're just not crystal clear. You get asked a question. There's a little lag in your response, et cetera. 30%, that's a lot. And so, and you're going to see people with long-term problems from the vaccine. So again, these are things that we think are going to resolve and resolve in 6 to 9 months in the long relationships, and the short relationships, maybe 2 months. And it is going to be a problem. And people with the vaccine, we're seeing also a lower percentage, but some percentage of long haulers or brain fog or whatever you want to call it, symptoms.
You're listening to Dr. Rick Lehman, and that call kind of bothers me. I hope you don't have COVID. I don't want to be getting it over the phone and spreading it among my listeners, sir. But
I'm vaccinated.
Yeah, right. So is Kamala. She's been vaccinated, boosted repeatedly, and she has it again. So much for being of value. You point out to me also South Africa is going to see a fifth COVID wave. Now, they did not have a lot of COVID in the beginning, or at least not as deadly. Let me put it that way, correct?
Right. They were able to control it, and now they're getting hit with a big wave. The other thing, which you just said, which is very important for your listeners, is just because you got vaccinated absolutely doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID. So a little bit of this was the government said, hey, everybody has to get vaccinated so we don't get COVID. And what we now know is that you're less sick, less chance to die, less chance to go into the hospital, but you're absolutely in no way prevented from getting COVID if you get vaccinated.
We also just looked across the glass at my board operator, Mike. He's put his COVID mask on. Yeah, we're good, Mike. Don't worry about it. Just take your earphones off so you don't hear him. So, Dr. Lehman, what about there's a first case of human bird flu reported in the States. What is this, and how's this tie, or does it tie to COVID?
Well, you know, this is H1N1, right? And so there's two things going on. We're so, I don't know what the word is, hyper-focused, probably, on COVID. We're seeing an increase in polio, and we're seeing an increase in measles, and all these things that we used to vaccinate again. Well, people aren't getting their vaccinations because they're so flipped out, and they're so focused on COVID. So if you Google it, you'll see measles is on the rise, and we're seeing the first cases of polio again. And now we're seeing H1N1. We're seeing bird flu. And again, this is just the natural history of viruses. Bird flu, he says it's not a concern, but, you know, that's what they said when the first cases of bird flu occurred the first time.
All right,
this is something we have to watch.
Let me go through a couple of things very quickly with you here. I know you're not a pediatric physician, but I'm sure you have some basic knowledge of being, since you are a surgeon. Well, the Department of Education has training over video out saying that women don't make eggs, ovaries make eggs, which would be specific, but what they're trying to get around to saying that men could have ovaries. In all your treatment, you ever seen a man with an ovary or heard such a case?
Ridiculous. And I think, you know, I think if we're going to start implanting ovaries, transplants in men, we've gone too far. I've never seen a man with an ovary. I've never seen a man pregnant, and no one else has either.
So what about this one then? Because it's a new puberty guide from the American Academy of Pediatrics written by a pediatrician who helps steer the AAP on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and so forth, saying that girls can get erections.
Well, they do get aroused. They don't get erections. They do get aroused. But you know, an erection is generally a male phenomenon.
Because of the penis, correctly? Because of the different biological makeup.
You can't mix and match. Now, maybe firming of the clitoris is an erection. It's a definition. But the way we learned it in med school is an erection is a male penis-related event.
I don't know, Dr. Rick. I think you're going to have to go back to med school because a lot of what you're saying there flies in the face of woke culture right now. Dr. Lehman, as always, I appreciate having you on board, sir.
Great segment. Thank you.
We had a lot of material to cover. Thank you, Dr. Rick Lehman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Yeah, when we come back after the break, I'll explain this a little bit more about this new puberty guide that is going to be sent out to pediatricians to use, and now they'll be looking at your children with this guide in hand. Stand by, please. Rottner Pest Solutions is one of the top pest control companies in the nation, and yet still family-owned for three generations, 65 years. Rottner customers still get personal, professional, safe service. I personally encourage you to call. Get a free quote. Schedule same day, next day, or a Saturday. 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or go to rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
there are some politicians who are trying to tear my family apart simply because my son is transgender. Trans kids don't have a political agenda. They are just kids. They just want to be left alone. My family's just like yours. We love our kids unconditionally, and we will never stop fighting for them. Stand with us. Protect our family.
Well, there you have part of a PSA put out by the government to basically stand in defense of transgender children and their families. Now, I'm not going to argue with the point being that, well, one, let me make it very clear. No one should be bullied or attacked because of their sexual preference and or their gender and or their religion or anything or their skin color or anything else like that. So I'm going to accept the basic premise, stand with families and protect their kids. Always, always. Just don't shove it onto my child or my grandchildren. Shoving your views of transgender identity and things of that nature. If there's an appropriate time, an appropriate age to have a discussion about it and explain why some feel this way or and why you also should sit there and listen as to why others feel the other way, but they often don't want a dialogue, they want a monologue, then we may have more in common. But while they're busy doing that, as I mentioned a moment ago, the new puberty guide for the American Academy of Pediatrics aimed at 9 and 12-year-olds, 9 and 12, you could say that that's maybe a little early. You could say it's a little late, depending. Now, we're just talking about sex education to that extent. I think that's probably a good time, if not certainly depending upon the areas where you live, and the group around your kids, and if they have older kids in the family, they're going to learn it one way or the other. And if it's proper education, as I'd mentioned previously, I think it was in maybe the last year of junior high, we had a class one day that all the girls went to one class, all the boys went to another. That was our sex ed training. It was fairly basic type stuff. But the problem is now it's all wrapped up into gender binary discussions and everything else of that nature. So there's a 150-page guide given to the American Academy of Pediatrics written by a pediatrician who helped steer the American Academy of Pediatrics on lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender health and wellness, and said the style we settled on is to use terms like for most girls this happens, for most boys this happens. So they're trying to make it clear that anything other than that might be different, yet at the same time talking about how girls could get erections, as we were saying a moment ago in that discussion with Dr. Lehman. Listen, if this is an uncomfortable discussion for you and you don't think it should be discussed on the airwaves, you need to be worried about it being discussed in a classroom without you being there with your child. But here they've got, as a right for this academy, for this is written for pediatric physicians. You think you have to write something like this, but the book actually states, if a baby is born with a penis, their sex assigned at birth is male. If a baby is born with a vulva, their sex assigned at birth is female. That's the book, and then says, most babies who are born with penis will feel like a boy on the inside, too. And it goes on from that. That's what they're supposed to be your pediatrician sharing with your child, and are you to share with your child. If you're going to share it with your child, that's probably a good idea because I think you should be involved in that. I know in that case we had girls, and I said, honey, that's your discussion. You have the talk with them. They were boys, I'd have the talk with them. You do what you think you should for you and your family, as always. And in the midst of all of this, if we don't have enough concerns, there's an American Psychological Association that says recent articles chronicling a startling rise in eco-anxiety among children, a chronic fear of environmental doom from climate change. This is more BS. This is continually shoving into kids' faces the air is going to be bad. We're all going to die. The planet's going to die in global warming. We're going to have temperature changes. We're going to have climate changes. But this is a scare tactic. And those who are pushing climate change, they love it. It's like every child is, for many years, thinks when the lights are off at night, there's something under the bed that comes out. Sometimes there is. Ah! Didn't mean to tell that to some of you adults. You didn't know that, did you? As always, we appreciate your listening. You notice we started this section with Roy Orbison, Pretty Woman. I guess I couldn't sing that anymore. I really like that song. I like that. That was one of my big songs growing up listening to. And Roy Orbison sang Pretty Woman. I guess you had to say Pretty Transgender. I don't know. I don't know how to work in that world. Do you? If you let everyone make their own mind up and do their thing, then I think we'll be better off. But when you start dictating, that's when you lose me. I'm dictating you come back here next week. Listen again. Or not. I prefer you do. Do remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.